Hello, welcome to Stump, Death and Taxes. I'm Meep, also known as Mary Pat Campbell. I'm a life actuary, and today I'm talking about Social Security, life expectancy, and retirement ages. So on Friday, I posted about setting a retirement age for yourself and doing a demonstration using the Actuary's Longevity Illustrator. Just, you know, giving a little bit of advice for an individual trying to set a retirement age for themselves. And I said I would circle back in talking about retirement age and Social Security. So let me revisit what set this all off. And this was Ben Shapiro talking about what retirement ages should be. And he had tweeted, yes, if you are mentally and physically healthy, taxpayers should not pay you to retire at 65. When Social Security was created, life expectancy was 64. Today, it's 78. Also, people require purpose. If you can retire and find purpose, go for it. For many, that's a bad idea. So I'm not going to touch the purpose part of this. That's, you know, beyond my ken. It's not beyond my ken, but I'm a life actuary and I can absolutely talk about life expectancy and I can talk about retirement ages. First off, there's, you know, 65 is not the retirement age for Social Security. I actually mentioned in the post that there's a multiple ages that could be tied to retirement in policy in the U.S. There's 59 and a half when you can start taking distributions from your tax advantage savings without additional tax penalties. And that's, you know, from IRAs, 401ks, and then some other pensions. Some people look at age 62, and a lot of people start taking their Social Security old age benefits, and because that's when they become eligible. Indeed, that's when I told Stuart he should apply for Social Security because he has incurable metastatic cancer, and he may as well apply for his old age Social Security benefits. Some do pick age 65, but it doesn't have to do with Social Security. It has to do with Medicare, because that's when you become eligible for the Medicare benefits. Everyone born in 1960 and after, so Stuart was born in 1961, their full retirement age for Social Security is actually age 67. Now notice, Stuart didn't wait until he was 67 to retire. And I'll come back to that. What does that mean, full retirement age? I think most people just totally ignore that full retirement age. People do get fixated either on the 62, because that's when you're first eligible for Social Security benefits, or 65, because that's when you're eligible for Medicare benefits. And most people ignored 66, which was baby boomers' full retirement age, and then 67, which is Gen X and after primarily. Okay, so that's 67. Some people pick age 70 because if you delay taking those old age benefits for Social Security past the full retirement age, your base benefit will start higher. So it will actually accrue a little more. Now, this is to incentivize you to put off filing for those initial benefits. And then some pick even older because, again, I mentioned those tax laws of you can take distributions from your tax advantage savings from like an IRA, individual retirement account, or 401ks. But the tax man, so when people were using regular IRAs and 401ks, we're not talking Roth here, you were not paying income taxes on what you were contributing to these accounts while you were working. However, of course, the tax man wants his cut. And to get the cut, they're not waiting for estate taxes. They are going to require you to take required minimum distributions. And there's been a whole tax policy push and pull with regards to this for the longest time. the starting age for those required minimum distributions was 70 and a half. And you didn't have to retire, but you had to take these distributions. So some people, because they were having to take distributions anyway, and it would get messed up with their regular employment income, use 70 and a half as their planning for a retirement age. Now, that actually got changed recently, and I don't want to go into all the ins and outs of, and it was 72, and then it's 73 years old now. So people are planning off the required minimum distribution age of 73 currently. And that, of course, could ultimately go higher. You can see there's a lot of tax policy involved, and it's not clear to me that Ben Shapiro, he's a lawyer, right? That he, but he's not a tax lawyer, that he knows any of this. And he's not, you know, really specializing in retirement, anything that's obvious. I will do a geeking out post later with regards to life expectancy changes since, say, 1900 in the U.S. I've done some of this before, but I actually want to get into the components of how this has changed, because I did this for TIAA once long ago for someone who was doing a talk to explain where the life expectancy improvements came. And what I'm going to talk about is period life expectancy versus cohort. But nah, I'm not going to do that again. We're just going to stick to period life expectancy because that's the one everybody is talking about. And I'm just fine with that to a certain extent, or I will use the Social Security's trustees report so you know what statistics we're talking about and what we're trying to do with Social Security, what statistics with regards to life expectancy or survivorship are relevant, and then what trade-offs or what choices are we going to have to make to make Social Security a sustainable program. So first, let me put you some facts. This is from the Frequently Asked Questions page of Social Security Administration. So when did Social Security start? You know, let's level set it, as us in the corporate world say. So when did Social Security start? The Social Security Act was signed by Franklin Delano Roosevelt on August 14th, 1935. So taxes were collected for the first time in January 1937, and the first one-time lump sum payments were made that same month. So that was a lump sum payment. Regular ongoing monthly benefits started in January 1940. So the regular ongoing monthly benefits are the version of Social Security we're used to today. So let's just start from 1940 and not the 1935-1937. And the reason I say that is because I have the 2023 Social Security with the OASDI, which is the whole old age. So I have the 2023 OASDI trustees report, and that's the old age and survivors and disability insurance trustees report. So these are for the trust funds. If the trust funds go away, so this is the most recently available trustees report, and I'm looking at some of the historical tables so that we can actually talk about what the life expectancies were and some of the statistics that are relevant to this discussion about life expectancy. So this is from Part V, that's from Part 5, Assumptions and Methods Underlying the Actuarial Estimates. And there's two parts that I want to look at. We're going to look at the mortality aspects first, but there's a big demographic aspect to this. I just want to look at the mortality, historical, and what we're going to look at are the period life expectancies. This is table V.A4, and I'm going to look at, it's split out male and female. So let's look at what we normally hear about, which is the period life expectancy at birth. Let's look at calendar year 1940. For male, It was 61.4, and for female, 65.7. And people were like, well, there you go. You know, that's for males, it was lower than 65. Females, it was just barely over 65. What is it in 20? Well, so this was for the 2023, and this is the historical. So the most recent number that they had was for 2022. Now, this is not exactly fair because 2020 through 2022 are pandemic years. So those period life expectancies are actually lower than 2019. So let's ignore 2020 through 2022 and look at the 2019 period life expectancies. So for 2019, I'm just going to do beginning and end. So 1940, remember, male period life expectancy was 61.4, and then 2019, it's 76.2. So it's increased 15 years between 1940 and 2019. For females, it's gone from 65.7 to 81.3. So these are, of course, much higher numbers in 2019. So, as noted, you can say, well, there you go. These period life expectancies are much higher. They weren't expecting you to survive past age 65. What do you expect? However, those are not really the relevant numbers because that's life expectancy from birth. Let's look at the period life expectancy at age 65. So this is basically how many years do we expect you to live past age 65? So if you retire at age 65, how many years do we expect you to live? So what we saw the change from 1940 to 2019 from the period life expectancy at birth, it increased about 15 to 16 years. From age 65 in 1940, so if you're in the year 1940, age 65, and male, we expect you to live 11.9 more years. Female, 13.4 years. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, there were people living well past age 65 in the year 1940. Oh, wait a second. And what is that period life expectancy in 2019? It was 18.1 for males. So this is about, you know, six to seven more years. So 13.4 for females in 1940 goes up to 20.7 in the year 2019. So we have about seven extra years past the age of 65. Now, yes, a higher percentage of people do make it to age 65 in the year 2019 versus 1940. Not going to disagree there. But what's really killer is not just the survivorship. It's something called the dependency ratio. And basically, people aren't having as many babies. That's one of the big killers here. It's also the income levels that are involved in how many people need to be supported by the working age people. So this is something that we need to think about. A lot of times you may see a projected dependency ratio, that's total dependency ratio, and that's those under age 20 and those 65 and over, versus those age 20 to 64. And that's your total dependency ratio. But it's it's kind of different depending on, like, if most of those are children who will eventually become adults versus if most of them are old people. So if you have people currently working who are supporting children and old people, what percentage of those being supported are children make a huge amount of difference. So if we look at the historical record, and they don't start in 1940 for this report, they start in 1945, which is fine. So in 1945, I they have a total dependency ratio. And so the total dependency ratio goes from 68%, okay, up to like 95%, okay, in 1965. So the people aged 20 to 64 is about matching. I mean, there's a huge baby boom, you may have heard. So yeah, the population of children plus those old age is about equal to the size of those of working age 20 to 64. But it's really, really skewed towards children. And then you have the total dependency ratio coming down to about, you know, 70%, 71% in 2019. But now it's starting to skew towards older ages. And there's still, you know, a lot under age 20. But the balance between older age, you know, those over age 65 are growing as a percentage of that dependency ratio. So if we just look at the aged dependency ratio, so this is the number of 65 and over, and that's the numerator, and the denominator is those aged 20 to 64. That starts out at 12% in 1945, and that basically just keeps growing through the 20th century, and it gets up to about 20% in 1985, and then it gets up to 25% in 2015. Well, yeah, about 25% in 2015, 2016, and then by 2019, it's almost 28%. It's like 30% in 2022. And it's projected, I mean, to get even higher, of course, by 2100 to up to about 43%. And of course, it can be different depending on immigration levels, fertility levels, and that sort of thing. So this is the question with regards to sustainability of the Social Security program, of what are we trying to do with it with regards to retirement ages? Because I mentioned this, a lot of people do take their Social Security old age benefits when they're eligible, starting at age 62, even if they really should not be doing that. Now, if, of course, you're not working and you really need the income, I understand taking that income. However, a lot of people are still able to work and do need to work at age 62. So, quote, taking that free money is a bad deal for them because they will find out, and they didn't know this, they're going to get taxed. That Social Security income is going to get taxed. It's not a good deal for them to take that Social Security income at age 62 when they're first eligible, that they really should hold off. But a lot of people don't realize, you know, what the full retirement age is, that they will keep accruing a base, a base benefit level up to that full retirement age and even up to age 70. A lot of people can work up to age 65 and after. You know, it depends on your occupation, of course, and your employer. But the other issue is, okay, if we're talking Social Security policy and what changes need to be made for it to be sustained, because it will not be sustained as it is with current taxes, with current, you know, population demographics and how it's going on right now. It's, yeah, people ask me, you know, with the deaths that occurred in COVID, no, that did not I mean, it actually had multiple effects, because not only did you have older age people die, you had some younger age people die, but also some younger age people became unemployed and therefore were not being taxed for Social Security. There were multiple effects going on at the same time. You also did not have, you know, certain immigration going on that didn't happen. And now we have other strains on the system with inflation going up that really drain the Social Security trust funds. So think about that. There are multiple dimensions to the program that, even though I do prefer talking about the Social Security Old Age Fund as opposed to Medicare, there are still moving parts such as inflation and the payroll tax revenue and other aspects like that. So what are the choices here? I mean, there's a lot of different things that can be done. I'm going to go to some issue briefs from the American Academy of Actuaries. And yes, they look at these trustees' reports every year. And by the way, the Social Security trustees' reports are political documents. The actuaries at the Social Security Administration do their own technical reports, but the trustees are a political body and they can come up with different assumption sets than the ones the actuaries recommend. This is just an FYI. In any case, going back to some of the issue briefs the American Academy of Actuaries put out, which is, you know, separate from that whole political machinery, as it were, they will get together and will do interpretations. And this interpretation of the trustees' report to help people understand what's going on in there and all the different moving parts, a lot of it is, as I had just been talking about, you have a fundamental demographic problem in terms of the aging of society. You know, there's other things going on with regards to fertility and immigration as well. But the bottom line is that there had been a boom time when the baby boomers were in working age, and the peak of the baby boomers has passed and they're all more or less on Social Security now. I mentioned Stuart. And he was born in 1961, and he just turned 62. But he's not peak boomer. The peak boomers, they were born in 1957 and 1958. They've just turned 65. That's the peak of the baby boom in terms of numbers. And that's just the demographic. And you know, I am not going to go down the particular rabbit hole in how that occurred. But that is when the actual demographic peak occurred, an actual number of people. And so that most of them have retired is kind of past. Yes, some of them are still in the labor force, but this is an issue with regards to the balance of who is supporting all of these old age benefits. In the particular diagram that the Academy put together, OASDI in 2023, so that's the whole thing, not just the old age program, but also survivors and disability, they have 2.7 taxpayer workers per beneficiary of the program. And so we have this 6.2% employee and employer tax. That's the part you usually see. And then, of course, there's the other 6.2% percent that you may not see, combined together to balance out paying all benefits in full. But the trust funds are getting bled out. So I'm going to read from the report. The graphic below summarizes the Social Security system's current imbalance. Today, taxes from the nearly three workers per retiree, along with revenue from benefit taxation and interest on the OASDI trust funds, plus asset reserves in the trust funds, are sufficient for the OASDI system to pay 100% of all benefits. By the middle of the next decade, so that's 2034, the number of retirees is projected to have grown faster than the number of workers, and the OASDI trust fund is projected to be depleted. At that point, program revenue is projected to be sufficient to pay only 80% of all benefits due. Legislative changes, which could encompass tax increases or benefit cuts or a mix of both, will be needed to correct the system's imbalance. So that's 2.4 taxpayer workers per beneficiary. So they can increase that FICA tax from 6.2% to 7.92% for both employee and employer starting now. That was the end of 2023, so now in 2024, or pay 80% for every $1 of benefit owed starting in 2034, or some combination thereof. So that's the simplified version. And there's other kinds of things that can be done. They did an earlier brief in October 2023. This brief was called Reforming Social Security Sooner Rather Than Later. So this came out when the trustees report came out. Social Security's combined trust fund reserves are projected to become depleted around 2034, at which time its income would be able to pay only 80% of the benefits scheduled for its 80 million beneficiaries. If Congress has not acted by 2034, we will be faced with an automatic 20% cut in benefits to people already receiving benefits. The need to immediately increase Social Security taxes by 25% or some combination of benefit cuts and tax increases. Earlier reform action would allow for tax increases and benefit reductions to be phased in gradually and provide individuals more time to plan and adjust to the changes. So that's basically, we have a decade to go. And in the paper itself, it gives a variety of proposals that have been put forth, such as increasing the payroll tax rate by 25%. That's increasing it from the 6.2% to almost 8%. And that's the portion you see, and there's the portion you don't see, unless you're self-employed, and then you see all of it. Benefit reductions. And, you know, some of these benefit reductions, some of it is taxation on benefits as well. And a lot of times people don't think about that. And there's means testing. There's adjusting the retirement age. And when you increase the retirement age, it's not that you have to retire later. It's that it's basically an implicit benefit cut. That's what happened when they increase the normal retirement age from 65 to 67. If you retire earlier than that, the calculated benefit you get is reduced based on how much earlier than that normal retirement age is. And then there's also a reduction in benefits by looking at the cost of living increases to the benefits and that kind of thing. But, you know, obviously it's not going to be, you know, any of the combination of choices is not going to be popular, because it does mean that, you know, you're going to have to pay one way or another, out of the benefits, out of the taxes, or both. The way that had been done before were through making Social Security benefits more taxable, increasing the retirement age, and basically making it less transparent in the ways that one would pay for these benefits. One popular choice is getting rid of what's, you know, called the salary cap in terms of what the payroll tax is applied to. And there are reasons that's unpopular. That would go a long way in removing the shortfall, by the way, and that could happen anytime. But, and you know, that would affect people like me. But the issue there, and let's be clear, they wouldn't allow for increased benefits to be accrued for those high income people. It's just that you pay more taxes, not that you earn more benefits. And that's how that would work. It's obviously not popular among high-income people, and they would probably not get as much tax as they would anticipate, because people would take their take their income, as it were, in ways that wouldn't get hit by payroll tax. But, you know, there are things, you know, there, and the reason that Democrats would not necessarily go for that approach either, other than a lot of those high-income folks are their voters, is they don't want to loosen the tie between the taxes paid and the benefit one gets, because then it loosens the concept that one earned the benefit, which you didn't. But it's all very political, of course. But some kind of decision has to be made. The way Congress has been operating, of course, is they don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to make decisions. They would rather make ads. And again, it's not any specific party that they, you know, all the parties would rather make ads of so-and-so wants Social Security to die, because not acting is also basically implicitly wanting Social Security to die if you do not change the benefits, if you do not change the taxes. The trust fund will run out. That is a certainty. It will run out, and then benefits will automatically get cut. That's guaranteed in current legislation. You have to act, Congress, for that not to happen. Either way, something, you know, Congress actually has to act one way or another and make some kind of choice. That is the only way Social Security old age benefits are going to be sustainable, is that something about it is going to have to change. And anyone who denies that means that, well, they want Social Security to get hacked. It will likely get changed somehow, but it seems like it's going to be political chicken for now. The people who are running for president are both not going to be around, and I don't mean they're necessarily going to be dead, but they're not going to be around to make that decision in 10 years' time. The people who are in Congress, many of the senior leaders, are not going to be around in 10 years' time. So that's, you know, that's just the situation of the matter. So that's been Stump, Death and Taxes, and I might be around in 10 years' time to see what happens. And maybe you will too.